Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning desiring to know you, desiring to worship you, our mighty King. Lord God, we are a people in great need of you, Father, of your work within our hearts, within our minds, drawing us closer to Christ. We are in great need of you opening our eyes and our ears to see Christ for the first time and trust him for our salvation, Lord. We are in great need, Lord, of hearing from you through your holy word. So, Father, we sit before you and we humbly ask, O God, that you would speak through your word to us this morning, that you would do your work by the Holy Spirit, shaping and forming each of us more into the image of Christ, O God. I pray that in this time from your word, you would strengthen our faith. You would encourage us, O Lord God. You would correct us, O Lord God. We pray, Father, that as we leave here, it would be in your presence, going forth in the name of Christ to love a dying world, to proclaim Christ with our words, with our deeds, with our thoughts, with our actions, Lord, that you, Almighty God, would be glorified through all the earth. So come now, we pray, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week in our first in the series of the book of Exodus, as we're going through the book of Exodus, on our first passage from Exodus, we're looking at a few of the major themes throughout the book of Exodus. As God is showing himself, he's revealing who he is to his people, that he is showing that he is faithful to himself, to his name, and to his people. He's showing the mighty power of his name. He's showing that he is a holy God. He's showing that he is a God to be worshipped and how we are to worship him. He's making himself known. Well, probably one of the major themes of the book of Exodus is God is showing us through what he has actually done that he is a God who delivers. He delivers his people out of bondage, out of slavery. And that's the theme that is carried out throughout the entire scripture. It's why Christ came and died on the cross. That us who are in bondage to sin, through faith in Jesus Christ, by God's grace, would receive forgiveness, adoption, that we would become born again, that God would deliver us, redeem us. And we see this is what he is going to do to his people who are in slavery. We saw last week in the first 14 verses of the book of Exodus that God's people went into Egypt under good situation. There were 70 of them, Joseph and his family. But now, a Pharaoh who knew Joseph, as Joseph was elevated to the second highest position in Egypt, that Pharaoh has died, and a new Pharaoh comes along, comes to power, one who the scriptures say did not know Joseph, did not know the contributions. And we saw very specifically how the very language in the first seven verses particularly, God is pulling from the book of Genesis at various places where he's talking about his promises to his people. Talking about his promises, how even going back to Abraham, who is in his old age, has no children, and his wife is barren, and God says to him, I promise that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And at that moment to Abraham, it looked like, are you kidding me? That's impossible. But the opening book of Exodus describes the 70 went in, and then a short time later, they increased and increased and increased because God's blessing was on them. God said they would multiply, and they are. So we're opening, God is opening the book of Exodus by showing us things look really hard, but what God promised He would do, He always will do. God is faithful. God is faithful. But right after that, we go right into the suffering. And we see that the new Pharaoh is afraid. He fears many things. On the one hand, he fears that the Hebrews, the Israelites, are getting so prosperous, are getting so numerous, so numerous that he's fearful if an enemy army comes that the Israelites will join them and take over Egypt, will fight for their enemies. On the other hand, he's afraid of losing them as a workforce, as a slave force for his economic prosperity. And so he puts in a plan, an evil plan, out of fear. He's going to try to oppress them. He tried to make them work harder and harder and harder. And he was treated them cruelly, but God continued to prosper them. Well, in this morning's passage, he's going to take that to the next level now. He's going to continue on and actually increase his oppression of God's people. Follow along, please, as I read from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, going through the end of the chapter, verse 22. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth, and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." This is God's word. We see the oppression of God's people continue and really increase in this passage this morning. In the first part of the passage, in verses 15 and 16, we see that fear of people, fear of things of this world, cause an act of evil. Pharaoh, now seeing the people continue to prosper, acts evilly in fear. He is afraid of being taken over. He is afraid of losing his economic might. He is afraid of losing his power and his authority. And so that fear of earthly things, that fear of losing position, of losing authority, causes him to act heinously for evil. He puts a plan in place to still maintain his workforce, but not too much. And he wants to take the strength of the men out of the Israelites over time, so that they will not come and take over him. But he still wants to maintain what he has for his slave labor, for his economic prosperity. Here is this man in authority over a nation and in fear. He acts with the utmost evil. Now, the way he does it is he instructs two midwives. It's a little unclear in the translation whether they are midwives to the Hebrews or whether they are Hebrews themselves. Their names, Shifra and Pua, they are Semitic Hebrew names, so it's quite probable that they are Hebrews themselves. They are Israelite themselves. Doesn't really matter, but I suspect there were more midwives. The nation is so prosperous right now. I mean, keep doing that. It's so numerous right now that there's a lot of demand. A lot of scriptures have showed this here. There's a lot of children being born. And so it would be a lot of work just for two midwives. Maybe they were supervisors of all the midwives. Maybe they're just giving an example of two who ended up being faithful to God here. But Pharaoh gives them a direct order that says, when you go and assist in the birth of an Israelite child, if it's a boy, kill it. If it's a girl, let it live. Now, it seems so simple, doesn't it? You're like, well, obviously, that's wrong. Don't do that. Right? It seems so easy what the right choice is to do here. I think it's always very, very difficult for us to say what we would do in any given situation that we haven't personally been in. Here, these two women who are under the authority of Pharaoh, whom Pharaoh has the power to kill, have them executed. He holds their lives in his hands. He's obviously demonstrating to them that he's not against killing someone who is innocent, as he is ordering the execution of all the male Israelite babies. This man acts wickedly because of his fear against worldly, earthly things and powers and prestige. Well, then we see in verses 17 through 19, fear of God causes an act of righteousness. These two women, it says in verse 17, the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt told them to do. That is so powerful. It is one thing to say that we fear God, we trust God as we sit in a nice warm room in the midst of peace and abundance. But here these two women were faced with, who shall we fear? The authority, the power, the might of Pharaoh who can kill us? Or shall we fear God? Their love of life and the life of children here, the babies being born, has led them to fear God even above the possibility of them losing their own lives. Now that's the stuff of movies, right? I mean, that's like the most amazing story. Someone standing up to injustice, to evil, even if it will cost them their lives. And it's great in a movie because, you know, that's over there and it's not something we have to address personally and have to stand for personally. But that was the choice that these two ladies faced. Will they fear God more than they fear human power? They're looking evil right in the face. And they make the choice that they will fear God. Now, what does that mean? Isn't that always such a hard phrase, such a hard saying? Fear God, right? And I think if we try to explain that by saying reverence, we've got part of it there, yes, but I don't think that that's the full picture either. I think throughout the Scriptures, we are called to fear God. But we're also told that love drives out fear. God is love. For us to fear God cannot be contradictory to loving God or knowing our loving God. The two have to go together. The Scriptures hold them both together. I think that for us to fear God, as we look at the midwives, we see that they had a knowledge of who God is. They understood who He was and knew that God values life. Now, this is even before they had received the Ten Commandments. All right, so they're not looking back at a particular verse. They know who God is. They know His character. They know His name. And they have a fear for Him, saying, they're not saying this, sorry. Obviously, it's not in the Scripture. I'm not saying these are the words they said, right? Sorry. But to fear God, to say, look, if we transgress against God's will, God's law, God's name, then God is the one to whom we will have to, we will stand before and be judged. And losing our earthly life if we break the laws of an earthly king is nothing compared to having to stand before God and say, I knew what you wanted me to do, but I didn't do it because I was too afraid of people. They say, no way, I'm going to have to stand before God. That's a fear there. Not even so much a fear of judgment, though there is for a sin. But a fear knowing who He is that causes us to act in accordance to His will. A fear that frees us to come into His loving arms. We see that the fear that the midwives had for God drove them not away from God. That's a total misunderstanding of fearing God. This fear they had of who He is and all His majesty and all His power and all His might, it was all more real to them than the physical presence of Pharaoh and his army. So that it caused them to come to God, to trust Him, to believe Him, to hope in Him. The fear of God drove them into the loving arms of God. Well, we see then in this, as these verses come together, they kind of compress time a little bit here. And we see that in verses 20 to 22, really through 21, 22 kind of puts a little twist on it here. We see God's blessing on those who fear Him. So first, Pharaoh fears the world and acts evilly. The midwives fear God and act righteously. And now, God extends His blessing to those who fear Him. Verse 20, so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. We see God reacting to the faith, the fear of the midwives, their response of faith. It's really a similar act we see here, a similar response to God that we looked at in Abraham. When Abraham... Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, when God says, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars, the most impossible thing, it cannot happen, but I'm going to do it anyways, Abraham. And it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's faith in God, which led to God saving Abraham, credited to him as righteousness. We see here now these midwives here that in their fear of God, they trusted in Him. And they followed with their lives, demonstrating their utter dependence upon God. And we see God responding by blessing them. Particularly here, he gives them family. Now, we must always be careful with how, I suggest to you that we must be careful with how we look at God's blessing in the Scriptures. Okay? It is very clear in this passage that God is saying, God is responding to their acts of faith here. Okay? But He's doing so graciously. He's not being cajoled into doing this. You know, they're not twisting His hand. They're not manipulating God. Well, if I do this for God, then God will do something for me. It's an act of grace. It's free gift, unmerited. The midwives didn't earn God's blessing by following Him. No, that's the idea of fearing Him. He is the master of all. He commands our lives. And He is a loving master. So He blesses these midwives because He loves them, out of love. Blessings do not always look like what we expect or what we want. They're not always easy for us to see. They're not always a one-to-one correlation. When we do this, if we pray this many times, then God... No. No. We cannot manipulate God. But our God is gracious. Our God is loving, merciful, kind. And we see that picture here with the midwives. These two dear women who fear God more than man, put their lives on the line for God's sake, trusting in Him. And we see God coming and blessing them, giving them families of their own. But this passage acts in a bit like some bookends here. We see it starts with Pharaoh acting evilly, giving an evil command. And then the midwives, and then the midwives and God. And now it's going to close with Pharaoh again, upping the ante yet again, continuing to do his evil. We see the result. We see what God graciously gave these two dear women who trusted in Him. Pharaoh's heart is going to continue towards evil. Verse 22, the Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. He couldn't get it done through the midwife, so now he expands his command to all his people. It is just, it's open season for anyone walking around. Hey, Egyptians, you're walking around. If you see a Hebrew baby boy, the law commands, you just take it and throw it in the river. Pharaoh's heart continues to be evil, even as he is seeing that with his efforts to destroy, to hurt the Israelites, God continues to bless them. He is not demonstrating, obviously, any fear of God. Instead, he is fearing many things. Loss of power, loss of influence, loss of authority, loss of economic prosperity. What or who are we afraid of? This is a little bit, you know, I want to be careful, as always, in how we look to apply this passage, because this passage is very firmly set in the context of God's redemption of His people, of God delivering His people. And this is setting the scene for how God powerfully makes Himself known as He calls His people to come and worship Him. But it also is this picture of who will we trust? Who will we fear? Most of us go about our day fearing so many things. So much of what we do is driven by fear. Fear of saying something embarrassing. Fear of losing a job. Fear of looking bad. Fear of not fitting in. Fear of not succeeding. So much of what we do is driven by fear. The fears that are deep down inside of us. Many of them we don't even know are there. I think I've shared before. A dear friend many, many years ago went to church with his friend and her grandmother, who was in her late 80s. And when it came time to for the musical worship part of the service, the grandmother didn't sing. I remember afterwards just talking, just asking, "Oh, you know, why weren't you singing?" You know, she said, "Oh, I don't sing." I said, "Oh, really? Why?" So when I was, I forget, 5 or 6, someone told me that I have a terrible voice. And I've never sung again. Yeah. Oh, Lord. But in her was this deep fear of being embarrassed, that someone would think badly of her or make fun of her or say that you don't sing well. And that fear had taken such grip of her life that it kept her from singing to the Lord she loved. Fear. As we go about our day today, as we go about our week, what things will we be fearful of? And as we look at that, may the Lord bring them to our mind, and may we say, why? Why are we fearful? Are we fearing the things of this world, man, more than God? Do we believe God is true to His Word, that He will provide for us? Do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about what you will wear. That's a hard one, isn't it? Jesus says that. He means it. I'll get the exact reference. It's Matthew. It's in Matthew 6. Thank you. He means that we are to trust Him, even when we don't understand what's going on around us. He is here. He is true, He is real, and He is always faithful to His name and to His people. When we fear God over everything, it drives us into His loving arms. We fear God because of our sin, yet we come to Him in our fear, and He washes our sin away. We come to Him fearful because we do not measure up to God's holiness, and in doing so, He embraces us. Brings us and adopts us into His family by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Fearing God drives us into the loving arms of God. May we, this week, see God, know God, trust Him. May the fear of God fill us more than anything else, that we will be driven into His loving arms. Let's pray. Well, Father God, I thank You for how powerfully You worked with Your people under Pharaoh, Lord. Was the king of the world, the mighty empire, but he can do nothing apart from You. And You show Your power and Your love and Your grace and Your name again and again throughout this book. I thank You for how You bless these midwives, Lord. I thank you that they feared you. Lord, help us to fear you, that we may come to you, trust you, that we may know your love and forgiveness and power and protection. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.